Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots, to episode 18-17 here on this beautiful 13th day of May in the American Redoubt, broadcasting and streaming from the free zones. And we are broadcasting actually through our remote Black Echo rebroadcasting stations. For those of you who've got your FM and AM low power transmitting stations up and running, thank you guys for doing that. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I am John Jacob Schmidt, your host, and my name is your name too. If you are a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, you know how it goes. And I got to meet a bunch of you God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot John Jacob Schmidts out there over the last couple of days, and it was an honor. It was such a great time. I'm going to be talking about that. I've got a lot to talk about tonight. Some show material to make up for since the last couple of weeks got away from me with some personal stuff that I'm navigating through. And I really appreciate your guys' support and your prayers. Unbelievable, amazing people out there. I just can't tell you what an amazing, loyal listening audience this is. And it's an honor to be in the fight for our liberty and our heritage and all that we value that's under attack right now as we stand shoulder to shoulder together. So thank you guys. Hua. That's all I got to say on that. Now, if you have not spread the word already, and I'm trying to remember to do this, we've got a phone number through our Stream Monster account that you can call in, or have your friends who do not have internet or limited internet, or they don't have computers. It's amazing how many I've run into just in the last few days. I told them about the number, so I need to repeat that. I need to repeat that on the Saturday show. Yesterday I mentioned it for the first time. Our listeners on the terrestrial stations, or AM and FM stations through Liberty Broadcasting, didn't realize that our Sunday night podcast is accessible through our call-in number. Anytime that we are live streaming, such as Sunday night podcasts, you can call in 857-757-1085. Help spread the word of Radio Free Redoubt to your friends. And if they don't have internet or limited internet, they can use that call-in number. So thanks for helping to spread the word. Welcome to our newest live streaming listeners who've only been able to listen on the terrestrial stations and have not been able to listen to the streaming podcast Sunday evening. June 5th coming up is going to be our 7-year anniversary. 7 years. Radio Free Redoubt has been live streaming across the internet. And, for 4.5 years, we've been broadcasting also on the AM and FM dials through American Christian Network and their affiliates. So this has been quite a journey, and this has been an amazing journey to be on with all of you. So I just continue to pray, and please pray for me for protection and for courage, wisdom, discernment, and humility. And pray for that for yourselves too. This is what's going to carry us through the challenging times ahead. Now, normally, this is where I would break and say, and now the news and commentary brought to you by Glenn Tate in the 299 Days book series. But I'm going to do it slightly differently because several of us got to go down to the Spokane Valley, which is actually is its own city next to Spokane. Spokane Valley at the V-Twin Brewery. Christian, going to a brewery, I just don't understand that. Well, remember the Founding Fathers, they met at the Green Dragon, they met at the Red Dragon, the Green Lantern. They met at several of these taverns, famous taverns, and that's where they would sit around drinking their ale and talking about the British and what they were going to do to resist tyranny, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots. Of course, now if you've got addiction issues, you should not be going anywhere near that stuff. So God bless you anyway. But we got to Matt Shea, Representative Matt Shea showed up. Several other patriots, a former city councilman Caleb Collier was there. Oh, sheesh. We've got a bunch. But we got to meet, we got to introduce several people to Glenn Tate, who had not met him in person, and Shelby Gallagher, just releasing her new book, both dystopian novels. And got some pictures with the I Miss America like bandanas across our faces. We've got those pictures. I need to get those over to Polly01 so we can get that up on social media for you guys. That was a lot of fun. And then afterward, and it was really it was an honor to be able to meet so many of you as well, who just came for the book signing and introduced themselves without knowing who I am. And they say, wow, this is so great to put a face to the voice, and I've been listening to you forever. So I ran into a bunch of listeners who didn't know that I was going to be there or whatever, and I forget to ask. I would say, I was wondering what you looked like. Well, I was, what did you think I looked like? What do I, you know, do I tall, skinny, short, fat, the linebacker, whatever. So it's just, I don't know. It's a little thing that I'm just curious about. Hope it's not a big disappointment. Like I used to joke, I have a face for a radio, so. Nah. Okay. That was a great trip. And then afterward, we rode over to Wenatchee on the other side of Liberty State to assist Representative Matt Shea with a presentation to the Lincoln Day dinner, the Republicans over there. And so we assisted with that. State of Liberty booth and the merchandise and answered a lot of questions. And I got to meet a bunch of listeners there. So that was also unexpected. I was just kind of just going incognito under the radar. I'm just a volunteer at the information desk for buying Liberty State t-shirts. And so folks had introduced themselves. And of course you feel obliged to introduce yourself. And so I say, I'm John Jacob. And they say, no way. I've been listening to you for years. I didn't know you were going to be here. And so anyway, you end up having these really neat conversations with people you'd otherwise never meet. And it's just an honor. It's just, it really is. It is really a good time, a great way to meet folks and be encouraged and encourage them as well. And they're doing some good things over there. And man, they're fired up. They're ready to declare independence from Western Washington right now. And that's spreading like wildfire. So it was a super busy, weekend. We came back today. I got back about noon. So I've been scrambling trying to get the show together because I hadn't put any content together. Well, I had it loosely assembled, but hadn't really been able to focus on getting the content together that I wanted to cover tonight. So that's what I've been feverishly doing with my head down. And so let's move on with it. So this is the news and commentary brought to you by our friend and author, Glenn Tate of the 299 Days book series. Congratulations to those of you who got your personal editions of the 299 Days books. Those of you who brought those or bought those with his signature in them, and Shelby Gallagher's as well. Okay, this first one. This is just so exciting. The Trump administration is set to move the U.S. Embassy in Israel to Jerusalem tomorrow, Monday, the 14th. Woohoo! This is exciting. It is the capital. It's always been the capital. It's going to be the capital for all time. When Christ is reigning, Jerusalem will be the capital. But CNN gets a hold of this, and this kind of cracks me up. This is from, I think this was Fox 2, Fox News, Fox 2. They got their own little twist on it. The Trump administration is set to move the U.S. Embassy in Israel to Jerusalem on Monday, formally breaking from decades of established American policy. Oh, yeah, that's what it, there's the headline. U.S. set to break with tradition and open the embassy in Jerusalem. False. Actually, the U.S. is finally getting back to tradition, a long-standing tradition of Jerusalem being the capital of Israel. So, newsflash for the newsbreakers. The U.S. is set to return to the tradition of recognizing Jerusalem as the long-standing, traditional, established by God, capital of Israel. So they don't understand that, though. And they're just all wringing their hands over this. This thing that Trump's doing, breaking with tradition. So he's formally breaking from decades of established American policy and international practice in a move that U.S. officials say will create greater regional stability. Okay, so he's breaking from – now, they're breaking from decades of established American policy by recognizing Jerusalem as the capital. But did we not break from decades of established policy when we recognized them as a state in the first place? Just a few decades ago? Well, seven decades ago? Critics say the decision to recognize Jerusalem as the Israeli capital could make a region already struggling with four ongoing conflicts all the more combustible, and they argue it marks the end of the U.S. role as an honest broker in the Israeli-Palestinian negotiations. So all this time, through Clinton, through Obama, and even GW, we were honest brokers then. Were we really ever honest brokers? When was the last time we were honest brokers? So Bruce Riedel, a former CIA officer who now directs the intelligence project at the Brookings Institution, said that with tensions between Iran and Israel escalating in Syria, President Donald Trump is now only a few days away from throwing another can of gasoline on the fire by moving the embassy to Jerusalem. It's very dangerous, he says. Okay, let's roll with that for a minute. Mr. Bruce Riedel, former CIA officer, know-it-all, obviously, because he's working at the Brookings Institute. Tell me, Bruce, do you believe that if Trump retracted this move, then the Iranians would say, Oh, okay, good. Now we can be friends again. Do you think the Palestinians would say, well, we are not going to bomb you. We are not going to slash and stab your citizens. We are not going to throw Molotov cocktails at your citizens. We're not going to run you down with vans anymore. We're going to stop all the explosions because you're not moving the embassy to Jerusalem. It's not going to change a thing. Why appease them? Why appease them? You don't. That's the answer. You don't appease them because it's not going to change a thing. I just rewatched The Darkest Hour, featuring Winston Churchill, when they're trying to say, oh, you're just going to make things worse if you don't negotiate with Hitler and make some concessions. And he's like, you don't make concessions with madmen. You don't negotiate with these people. It's not going to make us any easy. It's not going to conquer us any more easy, except for maybe the individuals who would stand personal gain, I suppose. But with the situation with Israel, you're not going to appease these guys. You're not going to make the Iranians hate you less because you decided not to move the they're already throwing gasoline on the fire. You know what? You know what's throwing gasoline on the fire? You know how to just make all the gasoline go away so there will not be any more tensions? Just kill all the Jews. That's what they want. Then there will be eternal peace because all the Jews will be dead and they'll be out of the Holy Land. That's what Hitler thought. That's what the Iranians think. That's what most of the Middle East thinks. But this is just a good move. I stand by Trump on this. In fact, He was even quoted in this, Matt Staver, the president of Christians in Defense of Israel, put out a letter. Thank you to the Patriot who sent this in to me. Basically praising President Trump and saying a member of in his letter, he mentioned that a member of Israel's Knesset compared President Trump to Winston Churchill and referred to the president as one of Israel's greatest allies. Quoting him, I think that what we witnessed yesterday is a Churchillian move by the president, Donald J. Trump, who has proven himself to be a man of his word and the closest ally. Not only that we have, but that we have ever had in the White House. And that was Amir Ohana, yeah, quoted. Churchillian. I'd never heard that term before. Somebody mentioned that today. They said, oh, they even called this a Churchillian moment. What's a Churchillian? I thought it was like some fuzzy little animal or something. No, Churchill, Churchillian. I'm like, brilliant. It's so true. He was so hated, even by those in his own party, for refusing to compromise, for making the tough decisions. Oh, they despised him. Amazing man, born for the time, for that time, for that little time when that sliver in time, he was born for that moment. So I think in many respects, you could say the same thing about Trump. I know some people, oh, Trump, he's just, hey, that's my opinion. I think he is doing some amazing things that quite frankly, Ted Cruz or any of these other so-called options we had just did not have the sand to make the hard decisions. None of them would have accomplished what Trump has accomplished. None of them. They didn't have the guts. They want to try to get along. They want to try to compromise. They're going to act tough, but they don't. They're all talk. They're empty suits. They're whitewashed tombs. I'm not saying that Trump is a saint by any stretch of the imagination. But he's the man with the guts, with the sand, with the grit that we need for this time right now. And the left has plans for when he's gone, and they would love to make that happen sooner rather than later if they got their way. Mossberg has announced it's going to stop selling to Dick's Sporting Goods. Congratulations. Good on them. Thank you. And they're not the only ones. I don't have this in my notes. There's others that are saying, we're done. We're done doing business with you because of your policies of refusing to carry, capitulating by not carrying combat rifles in their inventory and refusing to sell to somebody that's under 21 when the law clearly is very clear that you can legally purchase one at 18 or more. So remember, it's not a black rifle issue. It's a black heart issue. And so they refuse to address the real issue. In fact, that brings me to something that I read in my Patriot's Bible here. I want to share with you guys some of the brilliance of the founding fathers, The Word of God and the Shaping of America, by Dr. Richard Lee. This is the American Patriot's Bible. This was given to me as a gift by Dr. Dave Pruitt from AMP3. So I want to read this to you. It's a quote inside. I'll tell you who said it as soon as I'm done reading it. And he says this, "If we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But if we and our posterity neglect its instructions and authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury all our glory in profound obscurity." Who said that? Daniel Webster, statesman, lawyer, and orator. Daniel Webster, brilliant man. And that's from my Patriot's Bible. I love that Bible. I love also the one from the Founders Bible from Wall Builders. I don't have one of those. It's on my list, but I love this Bible and the quotes and the biblical principles that are highlighted in the founding of our country. Amazing. Really good stuff. It's not a black heart issue, or it's not a black rifle issue. It's a black heart issue. Until we get that right, until we understand that, we're going to be grasping at the dark, in the dark. Housing developer bans guns in rental properties. Hey, you guys want to pick a fight? You want to get in a lawsuit that can't be, that can be like totally crush these people? Beautiful. This cannot survive. Another nobody is trying to take your guns success story. It has come to our attention. This is from nj2as.org. I'm not familiar with this. Was just a link that was actually pulled from our Facebook page. We got this posted over on Facebook. It has come to our attention that a housing development group called RPM Development Group is prohibiting their tenants from owning firearms. You have two choices: keep your guns or become homeless. A new low for the anti-gun bigots. So this, here's a picture of their notice. It says, notice to all tenants. Effective as of May 1st, 2018. That's come and gone. This building will be a firearm-free building. No one will be permitted to store or carry a gun or rifle or any other type of firearm or any kind of any kind in the building or on the grounds. If it is discovered that you do have a firearm of any kind on this property, you will receive a notice to cease followed by a notice to vacate. Please be guided accordingly. If you have any questions about this, please contact David Steinberg, the general counsel at there's their phone number with the extension right there on this. We'll post this on the highlights and resources posting. But here's something that the general counsel probably didn't very wisely counsel his client, and that is that you could take any, it says any firearm. Now, you could even use the California standard and have a single shot 22, which courts have ruled in the People's Democratic Republic of California that a 22 single shot rifle is perfectly acceptable and covered by the Second Amendment, which shall not be infringed. So you take a 22 rifle and let them try to evict you by carrying your 22 rifle up to your apartment, because even the most leftist, communist-influenced courts have said, oh, of course you have the Second Amendment right to bear arms. You just can't have an AR-15. You can't have an AK-47. You can't have anything with 30-round magazines. You can't have – but everything else is perfectly legal and protected by the Constitution. Really? Well, so like I said, somebody want to pick a fight? A fight that the opposition won't be able to win. Take your 22, carry it in the open, or a pump shotgun, and carry it up to your apartment and let them see it. And then let them try to convict you, or evict you. Rather, little faux pas there. So, very interesting. That's not going to hold up. Because according to court's rulings, you have the Second Amendment right. So this is very interesting. And what are they going to do with the rest? You have the right to a freedom of speech, freedom of religion. Are they going to say Christians can't live here? If we find out you're a Christian, if we see you carrying a Bible, you're going to get a cease and desist order followed by a notice to vacate. What other unalienable rights can they say you can or cannot have here as a renter? Interesting. Something to think about there. Now, we've got a lot of elections coming up. We're going to be talking about that because the left is scared. They are running scared. They are terrified about the free zones, in the free zones, the strongholds of God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots that are doing exactly what is intended, and that is to strengthen the demographics within the already conservative areas, specifically in the American Redoubt, and the reddest county and the reddest state. And the leftists who are trying to get a foothold here are realizing they are losing this battle, and they are they're going crazy. Their hair's on fire. They're scratching and clawing their eyes out right now. They're writhing. They're foaming at the mouth, arching their backs. They're just spastically freaked out right now because of the momentum of the patriots in the political realm, that the patriots are doing what they are called to do and occupying. where it's no question you are in patriot territory here, and that's being reflected in the politics. They're scared, and we're going to talk about that when we come back. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
Hey, this is Jordan Page, and you're tuned into Radio Free Readout.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's great redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's great redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776. Or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us. And God bless you.
Here we are at segment two. Segment two of episode 17. I knew I'd get it right. I want to thank our sponsor for this segment. Our sponsor is Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots get strategically relocated to the northernmost part of the panhandle of North Idaho. Go to selkirkmountainrealestate.com and check them out. Contact them, not today, because it's Sunday night. How about tomorrow? Shoot them an email and say, we are looking to strategically relocate, and we're looking at North Idaho, the upper part of the panhandle there, Boundary County, Bonner County. Check them out. Look them up. Okay. Yesterday on the American Christian Network affiliates on Radio Free Redoubt, which is, by the way, is posted now on Podbean. I'm sorry. I in all of my excitement, and I'm in trouble with Pauly01 because I didn't publish the audio file from that to Podbean so everybody could listen to it Saturday afternoon who weren't able to listen to the live streaming version of it. And I got an email, slap on the hand, saying, please, please post and publish this audio file. And I didn't. I didn't hit go. I didn't press the button before I bolted out the door because I was all excited about going to meet Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher and then Matt Shea, and then head over to Wenatchee to help with that presentation. And then we had a late political meeting, so they put us up overnight there, and we came back this morning. So sorry guys, it's up, it's posted now. I'll try not to let that happen again. Oh, by the way, Pauly01 was there too. She's just awesome. She had several books to get signed by the authors that, we got a little treat for you guys probably coming up, T-Rex. We're gonna have some, giveaways and some prizes. So, if you feel lucky, you might end up with one of those. So yesterday, during the show, I covered this Coeur d'Alene Press so-called opinion piece. And it's titled, Beware of These Candidates. And it's a hit piece on the Republican, conservative Republican candidates that are patriots. Arguably, strong, powerful patriots who have the leftists very, very nervous. And I mean the leftists in the Republican Party. See how the Republicans were just disgusted and disappointed in not just Democrats, but Republicans. Democrats are doing what you expect them to do. They're communists. You can't be mad at a communist for acting like a communist. It's just what they do. Do you get angry at your dog when it eats its own vomit? No, it's just what dogs do. They're just filthy and they lick themselves in place. It's just what they do, right? Okay. But when a Republican is siding with an agenda that compromises our values, that's not what they're supposed to do. Well, the left has figured it out. If they get the leftist in there to pose as a Republican in strongly held Republican areas, people are going to just show up and they're going to stamp R. They're going to vote for the R, whoever has an R next to their name, and walk away. And they think they've done their patriotic duty by voting, but they didn't show up for the primaries. So the left has caught on to this. So what they're doing is they're putting up and putting all of their effort behind supporting the leftist Republican, the rhino, the Republican in name only. And because we're going to define the Republican here just a moment. We're going to talk about what it is to be a Republican. So the left has got this little strategy, and what's even happening right now, there's some fierce battles taking place. Well, I'm talking about Idaho right now because their primaries are Tuesday, less than 48 hours, 36, 30 hours away. So that's why I'm talking about it right now. But all of you guys, this is happening everywhere you're listening. If you're listening in America, you're up against the same challenges. And what's happening is we're seeing strategic, there's planning parties where these folks who are Democrat, communist, are switching and registering as Republicans so they can vote for the leftist Republican in the primaries. So when it comes to Republican versus Democrat in November, which the Democrats know they're going to lose, because everybody's going to vote Republican, you're voting for the leftist. You're voting for the socialist, not the communist. Unbeknownst to many of you. Well, not in this listening audience because you're informed. But a lot of your friends are not informed. So here's a new one. Now, this is, by the way, this is the moment I've been saving this up waiting for. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers who have sacrificed tirelessly raising children and all that you've done, all that you give. Now, I'm going to take, because it's Sunday and I'm working, I'm doing a podcast, I'm going to take my mom out to breakfast this week. That's going to be and spend some time with her. But I got a Mother's Day present from my mom this afternoon. She scours the newspapers and she contacted me and said, "Have you seen the editorial in the Coeur d'Alene Press?" I'm like, "No, I don't read it unless somebody sends me something really noteworthy," in which this case, she did. It's a follow-up to the hit piece they ran yesterday, which was yesterday was only just an opinion. But this is an editorial. This is the editor now grabbing the baton and running with it. See some strategy here? Very strategic. This is why we call the Coeur d'Alene Press the Coeur d'Alene Pravda, which was the state-sanctioned newspaper under the Soviet Union. Pravda meaning truth. And the newspaper, Pravda, was really just a communist propaganda platform. And so that's why we call this the Coeur d'Alene Pravda. But the leftists are scared. They're scared to death. They are scared, and you're going to hear why. So I'm going to go through this editorial here. So thanks, Mom, for this Mother's Day present to me. And I'm going to share it with all of you. And she was livid. She was furious. Furious. Now she's going to vote on Tuesday. Like she should. But here's the thing. She did something this week that only my mother can do. She called me up asking who to vote for. After we went through the trouble of going through the candidates and comparing them to other recommended candidate lists, and we posted the voter's guide for the folks over in Kootenai County, Idaho, and Bonner County, that area. Mostly Kootenai County. Now, it's all listed right there. It's posted on radiofreeredoubt.com. We even included a PDF so you can like open that up, print it or write the names down, print it or send it as an attachment to other people. So I did that for my mom. I went through the whole thing. But here's the thing. I want you guys to, nobody else gets to do that. You don't get to call me. You don't get to email me and ask me who to vote for. It's right there. So what we're asking though, and she was so angry, I told her, I says, okay, if I'm going to give you these names, you got to give me your word. You're going to send this to five people you know and tell them to send it to five people they know. But she's so angry now, I think she's ready to find 20 people that she knows to send it to and ask them to all send it to 20 people because of this. There's a lot at stake on Tuesday. I agree with this part of this editorial. There's a lot at stake on Tuesday, the elections. Sorry, Mom, your political kids have let you down. Mother's Day is as good a time as any to lament the lessons Mom tried to teach but didn't stick. You know, the personal assaults and below-the-belt punches that accompany most elections. This one is no exception. He's right, except it's the leftists who are doing the below-the-belt punches and personal assaults. Okay. What's so disappointing, though, is that it's alleged Republicans doing the assaulting against actual Republicans. Okay, so the leftist Republicans, no, the true patriots now are Republicans who are assaulting actual Republicans, they say. So if you're not a patriot, if you're not a conservative right-wing Republican, then you're not an actual Republican. The alleged Republicans, oh, that's right. You're an alleged Republican if you're not one of the leftist rag newspaper approved Republicans led by a cadre in control of the Kootenai County Republican Central Committee. God bless them. Aren't really Republicans at all. That's false. They are Republicans. They're just not your kind of Republicans. They're not the type of Republicans that have sold out like you're trying to get all the rhinos to do. He says this. They're not real Republicans at all. They are, I'm quoting here. Remember, let me back up. He says these Republicans, alleged Republicans, aren't really Republicans at all. They are constitutionalists, libertarians, and redoubters who have hijacked the party's pace car, determined to shape our country into an image that's their ideological fancy. Okay. This is interesting, editor, because the Constitution, if you're not a real Republican, if you are a constitutionalist or if you're a libertarian. Now, I'm not a libertarian. I don't even know if this guy knows what he means when he uses the word libertarian. And redoubters. Oh, redoubters. What is a redoubter? Someone who loves the Lord. Someone who fears the Lord, someone who has conservative, traditional American ideals. What's more, is a redoubter is one who is prepared to engage in the battle, the political struggles and the social struggles, to restore and maintain and preserve those traditional American ideals, like what the family looks like being able to defend yourself, like having ownership over your own land, to rein in the government that spends more than it makes, to reduce taxes and call for responsible government, who have left areas that have failed socialist policies, that have driven these people to the point where they have uprooted their families and their businesses and they have strategically relocated to an area that is still extremely conservative. They've redoubted. A redoubt is a fallback position. A redoubt is a safe haven and a refuge where they can escape that stuff. That's what a redoubter is. But according to these people, these propagandists who are just freaking out right now over the Republicans being taken over and hijacked by constitutionalists and redoubters. Well, let me tell you something. They've always been constitutionalists. They've always been the mentality of redoubters. It's been hijacked, actually, by leftists. Those are the true hijackers. He says, I'll read on. We maintain that it is not the image most responsible common sense citizens hold dear. False. The common sense citizens are the ones that see what's happening to their country. They see the insane. You talk about the insane policies of advancing sexual deviancy, the insane policies of bringing in a demographic group who have vowed to defeat and destroy us and replace the Constitution with Sharia law. They are standing against those things. That is what's common sense. Those who are standing against those insane policies of murdering children for convenience, for disarming our people at a time when our world is becoming so precarious and there's so much hostility around the world. Now you want people to disarm themselves? Who's using common sense and who is absolutely delusional? The left are delusional. The common sense people are the ones that see what's going on and they want to hold on to those traditional values. As bizarre as it sounds, he says, war is being waged for control of Kootenai County government. That's not bizarre at all. There is a war being waged for control of Kootenai County government. And the war is being waged by the leftists, by the sexual deviants, by those who want to dissolve borders and want to dissolve their people. And they want to advance any type of perverted version of what God designed a family to be. And they're standing against those things. Those who are waging war are on the left. They're the godless, anti-American, communist, socialist, globalist, statists. And to stand against that, you're just an alleged Republican. He says the war will be decided for the next 2 years anyway, on Tuesday. You're absolutely right. He's absolutely right. We're both in agreement on this. The war will be decided for the next 2 years, this coming Tuesday. And that's just in Idaho. This holds true across the country, wherever you are. Except he's got a completely different idea. Control the commission and you control Kootenai County. Yep, you're right. Even though the state Republican Party frowns seriously upon the practice, the local central committee faction is backing two candidates for county commission. Leslie Duncan, hail to Leslie Duncan. I did not say heil, little putz. I said hail. Hail to Leslie Duncan, the God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, and also to Mark Eberline. Mark Eberline and Leslie Duncan, patriots. I stand by them. They're amazing people. Mark and Leslie may be decent people with whom disagreements can be pleasantly addressed, but don't be misunderstood. These people are not pushovers, and they're not going to be pleasantly addressing disagreements. They are willing to roll up their sleeves and duke it out in the trenches with you leftists. They're not going to stand for it. And that's why we're putting them there. That's why they are going to be the next county commissioners, or the incumbent is going to win again, because they're not being pleasant. They're not pleasantly going to address your disagreements. They're going to fight. And that's why you're trying to take them down through your left-wing rag. And he says, but because of the master they've apparently agreed to serve, like God, those disagreements are not likely to be resolved in ways that benefit the majority of Kootenai County's taxpayers. False. They are going to benefit the majority of Kootenai County's taxpayers. You on the left, your policies are always to try to benefit the few, a small handful of people. To heck with the majority. The majority of the taxpayers in Kootenai County don't want your leftist garbage. And that's why they're putting people like Leslie Duncan and Mark Eberline in there to stomp the crap out of your agenda. And that's why you're so livid. You're writing pieces. You're putting up alleged opinion pieces, followed up by an editorial. Something didn't put the name. I imagine that's from the editor. It's an editorial. The editor is Mike Patrick, who swung the Coeur d'Alene Press, it used to be accused of being a right-wing piece, over to a hardcore leftist rag. Less government is good. No government is anarchy. We see the Central Committee platform listing dangerously toward the latter. Oh, really? Anarchy? They want less government, and you're calling them anarchists. But what you really want is those who are going to call for more government, bigger government, more spending. Liars. These people are just... here we go. They mentioned the Charles Carroll Society specifically. That's Democracy in Action, the logo. Okay, I'm not going to read any more of this garbage. We're done. But, oh, actually, I will say this. He says, if the logo, he says about the Charles Carroll Society, which is the Catholic cross, which to them probably looks like some kind of Aryan symbol, because that's what they're trying to say here, which, of course, the Charles Carroll Society is ran by a black patriot, a redoubter. Anyway, it says that if the logo and other material over at the Charles Carroll Society remind you of another religious ideological fanaticism that scarred North Idaho for years, vote for someone besides Leslie and Mark. Right there is yellow journalism, because what he's implying, this logo and other material reminding you of another religious and ideological fanaticism that's scarred North Idaho for years. He's talking about the Aryans, because this was specifically mentioned, the Aryan nations was mentioned in that so-called opinion piece yesterday. So what they're trying to do here, the attempt here is to make Leslie Duncan and Mark Eberlein cut from the same cloth as the Aryans. This is it. And he wants to say, you know, who's honest and who's attacking whom? He said, no matter what you decide, thank your mother for teaching you to think for yourselves. All right. This is garbage. This is pure garbage that was printed. Now, fortunately, most people are informed and they know better and they're not going to fall for it. But I want to read you something here. This is what these guys stand for. This is the standard, the Republican Party platform of Idaho. I have it. We're going to post a link to it in the highlights and resources posting. It would serve you well wherever you live if you could get your Republican Party to adopt this same platform, if they haven't done already. This was adopted in 2012. So I'm just going to read you the preamble. But the rest of it, the Republican, true Republicans, the Republican Party platform, if they're truly following this Republican Party platform, they are true patriots that are deserving of support. Not all Republicans are. So this is what it says. We are Republicans because, we believe the strength of our nation lies with our faith and reliance on God and our Creator, the individual and the family, and that each person's dignity, freedom, ability, and responsibility must be honored. We believe the United States Constitution is the greatest and most inspired document to govern a nation, and the Republican form of government it gives us is the best guarantor of freedom in history. We believe in equal rights, equal justice, and equal opportunity for all, regardless of race, creed, sex, age, or disability. We believe free enterprise and encouraging individual initiative have brought this nation and state opportunity, economic growth, and prosperity. We believe government must practice fiscal responsibility and that taxpayers should allow the government only the money necessary to provide appropriate functions. We believe that our founding fathers gave us a government that is a servant of the people, not our master, and the proper role of government is to provide for the people only those critical functions that cannot be performed by individuals or private organizations. We believe the most effective, responsible, and responsive government is government closest to the people, and the sovereignty of the state must be protected. That government is best that governs least. We believe Idahoans must protect the principles and the values that have made us strong. We believe Idahoans value and should preserve our national and state strength and pride while working to promote peace, freedom, and human rights throughout the world. We believe that the rights of individuals can only be maintained by exercising personal responsibility for behavior. We believe the Republican Party is the best vehicle for translating these ideals into positive and successful principles of government. Amen and amen. So, stick that in your hookah and smoke it, Coeur d'Alene Pravda. We got it going on, 300 million strong. Stop the bombs.
One podcast dares to be different. This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. The 51st state, Liberty State, there are a lot of myths going around, and one of them is that it's unconstitutional to split a state. Well, that's simply ridiculous. Article 4, Section 3 of the United States Constitution says that no new state shall be formed or erected within the jurisdiction of any other state without the consent of the legislatures of the states concerned, as well as of the Congress. So all it takes is a vote of the House and Senate at both the national and state level to make it happen, and it's happened before. 1792 Kentucky, 1820 Massachusetts, 1863 West Virginia, and this is not to mention on the world stage, Catalan, Scotland, Ireland, and Brexit. You see, reestablishing boundaries to better represent the values, traditions, cultures, and customs of a people is actually a very normal phenomenon and the proper way to protect and preserve those beliefs for generations to come. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the committee to elect Matt Shea Republican.
Whatever happened to the fear of God? Whatever happened to church on Sunday? Whatever happened to the velvet glove and the iron fist? Good old-fashioned brutality. Everything in its place.
This is Radio Free Redoubt, segment 3, brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design. Designs to keep you safe and to help you thrive. If you have property and you need assistance with getting the absolute most out of it for water access, food supply, energy production, and security features, give them a call. Or if you are in the market and you're looking for property, you want to have them go over it with you. They have the consulting service also built into their business. So give them a call today. Strategic Landscape Design, helping you to achieve a life of liberty. Okay, I want to bring something to you that I meant to last week, but the situation precluded me from being able to get to everything that I wanted to. So this is a little bit late, but it's okay. It's still relevant. Just this last week, May 9th, we celebrated or we revisited. I wanted to revisit. Was something that was – it turned out to be the first American political cartoon called Join or Die. And that was printed on May 9th, 1754. So we're talking 20 years before the American Revolution. But this comes from History of Information. And this is relevant to you guys, the listeners, especially those in the American Redoubt or on your way here, strategically relocating or in that process. So I want to read this to you, and we posted this also on RadioFreeRedoubt.com. In the May 9th, 1754 issue of his newspaper, the Pennsylvania Gazette, printer, publisher, writer, scientist, and inventor Benjamin Franklin published a political cartoon by Franklin showing 8 American colonies as separated parts of a coiled snake with the caption, "Join or Die." Franklin labeled 8 separate sections of the snake with abbreviations for New York, New England, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Vermont, North Carolina, and South Carolina. There was, at the time, a long-held superstition with roots in the legend of Osiris that held that a snake cut to pieces would come back to life if the pieces were put together before sunset. Separate, they are inert and impotent. United, they are active and powerful. Delaware and Georgia were omitted for reasons that remain unclear. So Franklin's accompanying text rallied the American colonies to unite and defend against the French in the French and Indian War. This was the first time that the colonies were asked to act as one. James Parker republished Franklin's cartoon in the single September 21st, 1765 issue of the Constitutional Courant, attacking the Stamp Act, calling for the unification of the colonies in their struggle for justice from Great Britain. In 1774, Paul Revere altered the cartoon to fit the masthead of the Massachusetts spy. And the cartoon became a symbol of colonial freedom during the American Revolutionary War. Suitably redrawn, it return to service for both the Union and the Confederacy in the American Civil War. Now, the reason why I'm telling you this is because this is a very this is just a beautiful thing. Well, we'll see. 2 years ago now, had a redoubter, 16-year-old young man, who with his family were strategically relocating from the People's Democratic Republic of California to the heart of the American redoubt. As a very talented young man, and at the time he drew and proposed this coiled snake, but it was revised so that the names, instead of New York, New Jersey, the colonies, each section of the snake had next to it Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Eastern Washington, and Eastern Oregon. Of course, Eastern Washington is going to have to be changed to LT for Liberty, but that's okay. We get the point. It says American Redoubt. Underneath that, join or die. We have to join together and reach across borders. And then the American Redoubt, and this is happening, elected officials and citizens groups and patriots are reaching across the borders and they're working together for a common goal of preserving liberty. And so our shirt reflects that, and we have it in the American Redoubt store. Gear store, the American Redoubt gear store. So I want to encourage you to go check that out. We have them in the heather gray with black lettering and logo. And we also have them in black with white lettering and white logo. And we gave two of those yesterday to one to Glenn Tate and one to Shelby Gallagher. So they'll be sporting those. And I just want to say, you know, we need to start, I guess, logoizing the American Redoubt and Liberty State. And getting that out there with the flags, with the T-shirts, with the bumper stickers. If you guys could help us out and do that. And, of course, we make a small amount off of that, not a whole lot. But it's really – it's not a revenue thing. It's about getting the message out. If you guys could help us do that. Benjamin Franklin, obviously, much different editor than the type of editors that we have today who have hijacked the free press, just like what you heard in the last segment. So the Join or Die shirts are in the American Redoubt Gear Store. Please go check it out. And there's something else too, and that's the skull and crossbones logo that we have with Radio Free Redoubt. Now, this has troubled some folks, especially those elderly folks who have challenged me on this when we've done speaking engagements and we've had booths set up with information about Radio Free Redoubt and AMRON. Coffee, breaks over. So the Radio Free Redoubt logo has this skull and crossbones with a set of headphones, you know, radio headphones. Well, the skull and crossbones is symbolic of, well, it's reminiscent of like pirate radio, voice of the resistance type of thing. But it actually has roots that go back further than this. And Sam Culper from Forward Observer magazine drew up this logo for me, what, 4 years ago? Maybe 5 years ago? Probably about 4 years ago. But see, it's actually a derivative of the stamp that was put out with the skull and crossbones. And it was in resistance to the Stamp Act. And it is a skull and crossbones, the Sons of Liberty and the colonists and the Revolutionary War patriots. It became symbolic of that resistance against tyranny. And this was specifically a Stamp Act symbol, a Stamp Act resistance symbol. And that's what we have on our shirts. And those are also available in the Redoubt Gear Store. The Radio Free Redoubt shirts with the skull and crossbones has its roots in that skull and crossbones that the founding fathers of this country displayed as a symbol of resistance against tyranny, specifically the Stamp Act. So let me just read this to you. The publishers of newspapers were heavily involved in the Stamp Act opposition. Obviously, the main reason was because the tax hit their form of business, publishing newspapers squarely. When November 1st arrived, which was the official day of the beginning of the new tax, newspapers across the colonies came up with all kinds of ways to avoid the tax. Some simply stopped publication. Others published anyway, but without the name and masthead on the paper, so it wasn't obvious who had made the paper. Some printed openly in defiance of the law and put a skull and crossed bones where the stamp should have been affixed. And that is from RevolutionaryWarAndBeyond.com. And there's another one here that talks about this. This was first created by the Pennsylvania Journal and the Weekly Advertiser. And this was from October 24, 1765. And it was geared toward the Pennsylvania Journal readers and the Weekly Advertiser newspapers to protest the passage of the Stamp Act. And the skull and crossbones symbolized the death of the free press resulting from passage of the act. So that explains that. And that's what we have in our T-shirts. If you guys would sport those, we'd be most grateful. We come back with our last segment, a little after-action review of some Ameron operators in Arizona that activated their local Ameron net in response to some wildfires. And just a little bit of after-action review there. And I'm going to throw in some of my commentary to share with you. So lessons learned that we can all learn from. So stay right there. We'll be back with segment four in just a moment. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
When a person desires respectability of people more then they stand in awe and fear of God. They sell out.
Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Go to 299days.com to learn more. We're back with segment four, Radio Free Redoubt, which is brought to you by Works Holsters, Works LLC, actually. And you can learn more about the products that they carry and make custom-made holsters inside the waistband and outside the waistband holsters at works.com. That's with a Z, W-E-R-K-Z.com. All right. This is a letter that came to it from an Ameron operator. He asked me to forward this to folks if they could learn from it, if they thought we might be able to benefit. And I think that you can. I think that we all can. And, this is exciting. So, he gave a presentation to a preparedness group, a community preparedness group, some of the upgrades that he did. And he sent me the PDF for that. Well, and this is what he says. Today, I activated the Ameron Emergency Network to help get information out on the Viewpoint Fire. It tested my new equipment, and I feel I'm going in the right direction. I was able to monitor incident command and keep the citizens informed of what was developing with the fire. Okay, how do you monitor incident command during a fire? Well, for that, you're going to need probably two things, namely a scanner. Preferably one with P25 decoding capabilities. They're not cheap. They're expensive. But the P25 decoding capability will let you listen to fire, police, EMS that are using, like most all of them are now, P25 encoding. So a scanner to listen to incident command. And then also ham radio, because they were most likely going to be using or activating the local Aries Racies, which almost everywhere have their own repeater to use to aid with communications throughout the area in response to an incident. So there's two different ways you can monitor. And then he's doing exactly what he's supposed to do. He's acting as a relay. So he's monitoring all this information, and it's a lot of information for one person to try to keep track of. But he's doing it, and he turns right back around, and he puts out that information, relays that information over his local network. Okay, so to keep the citizens informed what was developing. He said he had over 10 contacts over frequencies 146.420, which is the Ameron simplex frequency, and FRS channel 3, a repeater. And FRS 3 and then a repeater on a different frequency. So let's see. He was able to, he talks about several contacts he was able to make, but let me move on to the lessons learned. He's got, let's go over these 11 of them. Number one, you cannot do it all by yourself. You need support. Amen. This is why we have signals centers that we use in some of our major training exercises, and we've used signal centers for real-world events. It's a station that's ran by up to 3 to even 10 or more operators. When you've got a lot of information flowing from different directions, it's hard to keep track of it all. Now, these are our trained and experienced AMRON operators that are regularly practicing this stuff. Okay, so we want to encourage you guys to get involved in that. Emergency communications is key. So soliciting help with others that can divvy up those tasks of monitoring some of those frequencies, and you guys collaborating together to put out kind of a neat little package with a bow on it, report out to the rest of the group. We call that a, like an incident report or a summary. Okay, second, you can never have enough radio equipment. That's mostly true. But you also have to make sure you have the right radio equipment. There's people with a whole bunch of radio equipment, and really it's so much, it's so cumbersome that it's not really useful because maybe you don't have the right kind of equipment. For example, you might have a couple of regular standard analog scanners, but you don't have one that has P25 decoding capabilities. So not only do you have to have enough radio equipment, you have to have enough of the right kind of radio equipment. Number three, antennas are as or more important than your radio. It's true. Your radio is super important, but it all comes down to the antenna. Your antenna will make or break a radio. And it is absolutely critical. Well, not, it won't make or break your radio. It will make or break your ability to effectively communicate, including just if you're only receiving. So antenna is critical. That's where you need to put a lot of emphasis and effort. Four, we need to have written contact roster for emergencies. This is an excellent idea. There's multiple communities across the country where folks have done that. They've gotten to, they meet regularly once a month, and they practice with their radios. They program their radios. They build antennas. It's great camaraderie building time for those who feel called to that, the communications part of the, you know, the communications tasks. But everybody, once you get to know each other and you guys start doing barbecues together and you start becoming friends and building those relationships, you kind of get past the AMRON code name thing and you kind of sniff each other out and realize this is probably not really a bad guy. I suppose I could tell him my real name. And then you guys are exchanging phone numbers and you're keeping in contact and you're going out to coffee together. And that's how these relationships are built. But it lets you do it at your own pace on your terms, right? But once you get to that point, it's a very cool thing. And then many AMRON networks around the country, they have a written contact roster for emergencies. And it could just be, you know, where you're located or what's your phone number or email addresses. And these guys end up building some pretty tight-knit little groups. But they're insulated from the larger network. They're insulated but not isolated. Five, communication training is so important. Don't fool yourself that you are ready. You're not. Good point. Experienced AMRON or any ham radio operator, especially working in emergency communications, they know that your ability to perform when it counts is a direct reflection of the amount of training that you're willing to put into it. So, and that falls right into or leads right into number six. Training nets are vital to keeping your community safe. You've got to be able to train regularly. Keep the interest up, keep people trained so that when it really matters, you're able to communicate. Seven, Baofeng radios have their limits but are better than no radio. That's true. They are limited, but not nearly as much as some of their FRS and MERS radios, which leads into number eight. FRS and MERS frequencies are not the best option during an emergency. Ham radio is best. And I say amen. FRS and MERS and even CB channel 3 is a great starting point, but it's kind of like your gateway drug for emergency communications. It's the way to get you started, but they are extremely limited, sometimes just hundreds of feet depending on terrain and other conditions. But this 24-mile thing for FRS, false. You're going to be really disappointed. Also, you cannot use, you know, repeaters, and there's just so many limitations on these. So ham radio absolutely opens up the floodgate for capabilities where, you know, you've got Amron operators, ham operators sending emails and texts back and forth to each other over radio. They're sending images back and forth to each other over the radio. You just don't get that. And plus just the performance, the distance, the range, the types of repeaters and the equipment, ham radio, FRS and MERS and even CB, those are great, but that should be a stepping stone to get you into something real serious as far as communications go. Everyone needs to make an emergency plan and write it down on paper. Amen. And everybody should have the SOI. Hopefully you have that. The signals operating instructions. 10, everyone must put together a go bag and have it ready to go at all times. And 11, inside your go bag, make sure you have all your important documents, meds, pictures of your belongings, insurance documents, and contacts. Keep a fully charged ham radio for emergency contact in your bag. And that summarizes that. So thank you very much for sending that in. I hope you guys all appreciated me sharing that with you. And I'm just really grateful for the Amron operators and just the whole neighborhood safety group there in Arizona for continuing to practice, and all of you that continue to train all across the country and building up those local networks, building those relationships and training regularly, staying ready to respond in an emergency and keeping your fellow citizens informed. So anyway, thank you for that. All right, guys, that's a wrap. You have a blessed week. Thank you so much for being out there. Thanks for your prayers or your support. Thank you for your financial support. We need it more now than ever. And we're just growing. We keep growing, and the costs keep growing. And so anything, $5 a month, $10 a month, $20 a month, $50 a month, whatever you can help us out with, it's just greatly appreciated. If you think the Radio Free Redoubt is worth supporting, then we ask you to do that. And if you're not so sure, then stick around. Hopefully we'll win you over. All right, this is John Jacob Schmidt, and you've been listening to the voice of the resistance against, well, everything that is at war against our traditional American ideals and our heritage. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.